You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. Well, guys, I think the Orioles may have finally hit rock bottom on Tuesday. I'm sure you guys watched the game, or at least the beginning of it, and you know that Dylan Bundy allowed four homers in the first inning without recording an out. Overall, the Orioles allowed 10 runs in that first inning, and they lost 15-7. Bundy's performance was particularly worrisome, I think, because not too long ago, we were looking at this guy as an emerging ace, and he looked like maybe he was going to be the best pitcher the Orioles had produced in a long time. Now we're back to just dreadful results, and it's really hard not to be concerned about it. Bundy says he's healthy and that injuries aren't playing a role in his ineffectiveness, but you gotta wonder. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out eventually that he is pitching in pain right now and that maybe his delivery is causing some issues with his elbow or shoulder. I don't know, but I know that it's hard to reconcile his performance now with his performance earlier in the season without injuries being a factor. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sick of focusing on the negative all the time. So today we have an episode where we're focusing on one of the few, and perhaps the only, positive spot for the Orioles this year, and that's the performance of relief pitcher Richard Blyer. Kyle Andrews, who's been a guest on the podcast before, joins us to talk about Blyer. We'll get to that in just a second.
Hey folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now by Kyle Andrews, who is the Orioles beat writer for 1340 AM Fox Sports in Baltimore. Kyle, I know that the Orioles have been a disaster this year, and I've had a lot of podcast episodes in which we've gone into some detail about what a disaster they've been. So I thought for today we'd have a little change of pace and talk about something positive. And given there's been so few positives, that limited our topics, but this one I think is really kind of a fun story for the Orioles, and that's the success of relief pitcher Richard Blyer. He's been really extraordinary, hasn't he?
Oh yeah, Richard Blyer has been amazing this season. He's actually having a streak of going scoreless for the past couple, even a month. I mean, it's been a little bit more than a month, so he hasn't allowed a run. He's pitching to a .46 ERA. So, I mean, he's doing pretty well this season.
What do we know about him? He was a guy who debuted with the Yankees at age 29 a couple seasons ago and then ended up on the Orioles after a long minor league career. Where exactly does he come from? How did the Orioles end up with this guy?
It seems like with the Orioles, they just come to find some of these guys in the bullpen all the time. I mean, you know, a couple of years back in 2012, they found a guy in Luis Ayala who was just, you know, he was pretty solid with the Orioles, you know, and he was just a guy in other organizations, but, you know, they just continue to find these guys every couple of seasons. I mean, Brad Brock was a guy a couple of years ago, and now it seems like they've continued this trend with Richard Blyer, even though Richard Blyer, you know, he's not a hard thrower, and he's a lefty, so, I mean, that actually gets righties out a little bit more. This season, lefties actually slash higher against Richard Blyer with the .267 batting average. You know, you have a .33 on-base percentage and a .31. .310, slugging percentage, but then righties are actually slashing 1.46, 1.67, and 1.95. So righties are actually hitting off of Blyer less than lefties are, even though he was supposed to be the lefty specialist. So the Orioles have found a gem just last season, and it's working out pretty well for them.
Yeah, you mentioned he doesn't throw real hard. I mean, he doesn't get a ton of strikeouts. What is his key to success? What pitches does he throw well? How is he getting so many guys out?
He's using his fastball changeup combo a lot. You know, he's just one of those guys that's really crafty. He's got to keep the ball low. He's generating a lot of ground balls, but he's also, you know, letting the defense play behind him. I know a lot of batters are going to run up on them pitches. I know a couple weeks ago, Buck Showalter actually talked about this with Chris Tillman, who had a start in which he was throwing it a little bit softer than Chris Tillman usually does, but you know, he was allowing the defense to play behind him, and that's the same thing Richard Bleier does. It's going to be a lot of soft contact because guys are just not really getting all the ball. I mean, it's so much movement on Richard Bleier's pitches that, you know, he's just getting the ball into play and allowing his defense to make the plays. And that's pretty much what his key to success has been. It's just been a fastball changeup combo. And then, you know, just mixing in some of his off-speed stuff, too, and his breaking balls.
I know that this is a stat that our friends at Camden Chat have been talking about a lot, and it's kind of an amazing one, that Bleier, as I think I have this right, he's one of three pitchers in Major League history with, like, more than 100 innings pitched to have a ERA plus of over 200. And the other two are Mariano Rivera and Craig Kimbrell, two of the greatest relief pitchers ever. Now, obviously, we're talking about a very small sample size with Bleier, who's barely over 100 innings pitched for his career. But it's still an extraordinary thing. I mean, and people talk about, for people who don't know what ERA plus is, it's a way of measuring ERA so that it evens out for eras and ballparks and that kind of thing, so that anything over 100 is above league average. So anything over 200 is just extraordinary. And you can hear from the guys who have that it's a historically great number at this point in his career. He's over 900 for the season, which is almost unfathomable. He's just getting people out and not allowing any kind of runs at all. So I guess the question, and I think this is interesting because the Orioles are so bad, nobody outside of Baltimore is talking about this guy. But if the Orioles were a contender and they were winning some games, he'd be one of the stories of the year, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He actually, it's weird that, you know, everybody always talks about this, but, you know, everybody always says Manny Machado could be the guy that gets moved. But no one ever talks about Richard Bleier, who's actually, you know, He may not be the guy that's going to help the Orioles right now, but he could definitely help a team in contention who are going to need, you know, left-handed arms or even need a reliever that can take them deep into late inning games. I mean, now he's been seeing somewhat of a setup role. I don't know if you could actually call it the setup role that he's in, but he's been pitching later and later in games recently. So I think down the road, he could honestly help a team. And some other team may be lucky enough to have him if the Orioles are willing to part ways with him.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because Bleier is obviously a guy who doesn't have a ton of value for a team that's not any good. You know, you're not going to, you know, it doesn't really help you to have a great relief pitcher if you're not contending for anything. But a contender or a team that's really looking to get that last wild card spot, for example, or is looking ahead to the postseason, having a lights out reliever like this who can come in and help set up your closer, that could be very valuable. And this guy is under contract through, I think, 2023. So you'd get him for a long time. Now, he's old. He's 31. And I think most people realize that he's not going to keep this up forever. But certainly right now, he is proving to be very effective. So the Orioles could possibly get back some prospects for him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't see why in this situation. I mean, they probably wouldn't get what they would have gotten last season when Zach Britton was available. But they'll definitely get a solid return. Maybe not the greatest of returns, but if you're thinking about retooling this organization, I know everyone talks about them going full rebuild. But if you're retooling the organization, why not try to add or, you know, add Richard Bleier to those trade discussions, because he could help a team win. And some team may be desperate enough to add, you know, him in a situation where they're contending for a playoff spot. And so they may give up a little bit more than they would have usually. So I don't see why, you know, he couldn't be dangled in trade talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially since it appears now that Brad Brock is not going to have a ton of trade value because he's not been very good this year. And obviously his contract is up at the end of the year, so he doesn't, you know, it's hard to imagine them getting a lot back for him. One thing that I brought up in yesterday's podcast, which is kind of fascinating from an Orioles perspective, is
assuming, you know, if say there's a chance that Manny Machado is traded before the All-Star break, there's a reasonable chance and maybe a very good chance that Richard Bleier would end up being the Orioles' representative in the All-Star game, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, with the way that he's been pitching, he has to be, you know, right after Manny Machado, the guy that represents the Orioles in the All-Star game. He's just been playing at the best that you can possibly expect a guy to be playing, even far exceeding expectations. So he's been having one of those seasons, just like, you know, Zach Britton did a couple of seasons ago, where he's just dominating. But, I mean, he's doing it in a way that nobody really expected. He's not striking out a ton of guys because he only throws, you know, 90 miles an hour tops. He's not going to go and throw a 96, 97 mile an hour sinker. And, I mean, he's just doing it in a way that many Orioles relievers haven't done it in a long time. So it's very interesting to see, you know, that kind of pitcher in the All-Star game. He's a control guy, and the Orioles don't have a lot of control guys right now, so out of the bullpen at least. So it's really different, and he's giving you a different look. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Bleier, too, is that, you know, we're talking about him this year, and this obviously he's been really, really good. But he was pretty good last year, too, and I think not a lot of people noticed. Not quite as good. I'm looking at his numbers now. He pitched 63 and a third innings for the Orioles last year and had a 1.99 ERA, only allowed 14 earned runs. Again, not a ton of strikeouts. He only had 26, but he only allowed 13 walks. So he really did the same thing last year, maybe not quite as effective, but he was pretty darn good last year as well.
Yes, he definitely was good last year. And what people tend to forget, too, is that even in those 23 games with the Yankees, he had a 1.96 ERA. So you're talking about, I mean, even though that's a very small sample size as well, he continued to do the same thing with the Orioles the next season. And then this season, he's gotten even better in his role. And he's actually had his role expand, and he's pitching even better with that role expanded. So he's continued to keep doing what he's done in the past, even though he's going to be the guy that's going to blow people away. But at the same time, he's going to give teams a different look after you have all of those hard throwing right handers. And even when Britton comes back, you'll have another guy that throws hard. And, you know, that helps out a lot with Bleier. And I think he's continued to pitch well and continue to keep his control, which is, you know, the name of the game with the Orioles and with other teams. So it's going to be really, I just feel like with his, the way that he's been pitching, and, you know, you've seen this for multiple seasons now. So he's just continuing to do what he does. And I think that's been overlooked for quite some time now.
Yeah, and what I like about it, too, is that it's a great story. This is a guy who toiled in the minor leagues for 9 years, right? And he didn't make his debut for the Yankees until he was 29 years old. A lot of guys, I would say probably most guys, would have given up by then, right? not put that much time and effort into it. And it's great to see somebody like that having success and having all that work that he put in the minors over the years pay off for him. So it's just kind of a great story. And like I said, if the Orioles were better, I think it would be getting more national attention.
Oh, yeah. He definitely deserves the national attention already. But, I mean, as you said, too, the team hasn't been good. So they just, you know, it's been a thing that's been overlooked for a while now. I just feel like with Bleier, you know, you have a guy that's so humble. He knows what it's taken to get to major league. And he was never a highly touted guy. So the fact that he's just doing this and enjoying the game as much as he does. And last time I talked to him when I was there, he just takes it all in. He wants to be the guy that's going to help the team. He put the team first when speaking to him. He actually said that, you know, instead of all the success, he would trade it for just the team winning. So when you have a guy like that in a clubhouse that's, you know, going to be the glue, I just feel like, you know, he could aid a team in the playoff race. So, you know, he'll definitely get a success story if he goes to another team and dominates. But I think as of right now with the Orioles, not many people are going to hear it just because he just plays on a team that isn't performing well right now.
All right. Well, like I said, this has certainly been probably the only feel-good story for the Orioles this year. Manny Machado is doing well, but we know that even has a kind of a dark cloud to it in the fact that we know he's almost certainly going to be traded. So that's a story that, as successful as he's been, I don't think a lot of fans feel necessarily good about that situation. Let me just ask you, this is a tough question for a team that's as bad as the Orioles have been, but are there other positives out of this year? If you're an Orioles fan, are there other things you should be looking at and saying, hey, at least this is going well for us?
Well, I'll say one thing. The good thing is that you get guys back. Everyone always talks about how, you know, the team hasn't hit. Well, I just feel like when you have so many guys that are getting injured and so many guys that haven't, I mean, with Tim Beckham specifically, Tim Beckham's been dealing with multiple injuries. Even before he stepped on the field for the regular season, you know, he had that groin injury, which turned into core surgery. So you have a guy that had a solid season last year. He's dealt with injuries this season, and now he's working his way back. Mark Trumbo's he's come back. I know that, you know, that might not be the saving grace that everybody wants, but, you know, you have had guys injured, and these guys are going to continue to fight. It's not like they don't care, and I know that's cliche to say, but these guys definitely care about the game. They're going to keep fighting. They're going to keep grinding. And they're professionals. So, you know, it's not going to stay like this for the entire season hitting wise. I don't see with the type of talent that they have why they are going to continue to keep hitting so poorly. So if that's anything as a consolation, maybe they might not get to the playoffs. I just don't feel like that'll happen. But, you know, they'll still hit better than they have been. So, you can't hang your head up on the fact that they haven't done so well right now. That's not the only thing. I know it's one of those situations where it's tough for fans because this is the last year of Buck Showalter's contract, Dan Duquette's contract, Adam Jones's contract, Manny Machado, Brad Brock, and a few others. So you just have a season where you don't know what the future will hold. But I just feel like they're not as bad as their record says it is. I don't believe that one bit.
Well, I hope you're right, because their record indicates they're on pace to lose like 130 games or something like that. So hopefully you're right, and that's not indicative of what their true talent level is, and that they'll start getting some breaks and they'll start hitting a little bit going forward. We're recording this on Tuesday evening before the Orioles start a series against the Kansas City Royals. I was just tweeting about this today that we all remember the Orioles and Royals playing in the ALCS in 2014. Doesn't seem like that long ago to me, but this team going into this game these two teams are a combined 19-49 going into this game. So 2014 seems like a long time ago, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, it definitely feels like a long time ago. I mean, you just had two teams that were unfathomably good back then. In comparison to right now, you know, Royals, they ended up winning the World Series the next season after that. But it just seems like the Orioles have kind of toiled since 2014. They've been up and down, and now they've hit that, they've hit rock bottom. So if it's any, if it makes anybody feel any better, it's nowhere to go but up from here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if Richard Bleier gets lit up tonight against the Royals, by the time people are listening to this, they'll know that. Then they can blame us for singing his praises in this podcast before the game tonight. Hopefully that won't happen, and hopefully as you're listening to this, he will still have some very good numbers. But Kyle, thanks so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for letting me join again. I appreciate it.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.